Good morning. Welcome. We're glad that you're here. We're glad to be able to see many of you here, to be able to worship our Savior together. It's good to have the camp staff back with us after being gone for a couple weeks with the youth retreats. And we're glad that we can to worship together. We had a great time yesterday and Friday evening at the men's retreat. Great time of fellowship and hearing from God's word and just enjoying and being refreshed through that process there. We want to be praying today for Pastor and Sherry. Sherry's father passed away last night, and so they're on their way to, or either on their way or at West Liberty, in West Liberty right now with family. We want to continue to pray for them during this difficult time, and I don't know many other details other than that, but we'll continue to pray for them. Community groups, we are still having community groups this afternoon and evening. We're looking forward to those, and be able to meet together. We only have two more of those left before we take our typical summer break before those. Speaking of summer, we are working on a summer schedule. Be watching your email and other ways that you communicate to see the summer schedule of what's going to be happening on Sunday evenings and also Wednesday evenings. We've got some special things planned for them. Kids Club, we're excited about Kids Club. We're glad that we were able to have it. When we back in the summer, we were looking like we weren't going to be able to have Kids Club all year, but we were able to have two short stints of it, and the last week of Kids Club is this Wednesday. We want to say thank you to those workers who have been loving the kids. Thank you to Adam and Haley for leading that, and we want to be praying for them as we continue to minister to our kids. The kids, we have lots of kids in the church, and we love hearing them. We love being able to minister to them as well. Coming up in May, in the evening of May 16th and 23rd, we have new members classes starting up that time. Those will be at 6 o'clock in the evening, and we'll be able to meet for those during that time. The rest of the church family, we will have stuff for you as well, but we will make more announcements about that. But those of you who are interested in the new members class, I know we have a handful of you. Make sure you plan to be there May 16th and 23rd in the evening. Be here. Camp activities coming up. There's a work weekend coming up on May 6th through the 8th. So if you want to go out and help camp get ready for summer, make sure that you talk to one of the camp staffers or get on the website and register for that there. We're excited that we get to see kids out at camp this summer. That's going to be June 6th through the 11th. And we're excited that more people are signing up than I even anticipated ahead of time. So we're going to have two boys' cabins and two girls' cabins from Wheelersburg Baptist out there. So if you are planning on sending your kid to camp ages 7 to 14, make sure you get me that registration quickly. So that way we can plan appropriately because we do have limited space when it comes to that. And also, some of you, I may be coming out. I need to find some more counselors. So I'll be praying that the Lord will provide us some counselors for that week as well. Tri-State Bible College, they have two free classes being offered, one coming up at the end of May, the other one through June. Those are on Saturday mornings, I believe. If you're interested in those, there's some more information on the Connect table there, and make sure you grab those. That information, get on their website or talk to Rex, and he'll be able to answer those questions for you, I am sure. Welcome to those who are visitors. We're glad that you're here. We're glad that you're able to join us online as well. If you are here, and you're a first-time visitor, go ahead and grab a mug as you walk out, fill out a Connect card, drop that into the basket, and that'll help us to be able to minister to you throughout the week. So with that, we'll turn it over to Douglas and the team. They're going to help prepare our hearts for the Word as we sing praises to our worthy Savior.
Morning. Read the Psalm 117. It says, "Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples. For great is his love towards us, and his faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise him." So this is a psalm that the guy just came and said, "I praise the Lord because he is faithful, and his love endures forever." He said, that's already enough reasons to praise him, his faithfulness and his love. So this is going to sing this morning, his faithfulness and his love. So would you stand with us? purchase us with your precious blood, and by your grace and mercy, we are saved. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your amazing and unfailing love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
As we give to the Lord in prayer, let's look at Psalm chapter 8 for a minute and think about the greatness of God and the majesty and the power of God in these verses and in the songs that we have just sung. Psalm chapter 8. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who hast set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings thou hast ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and with honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. Let's seek that great Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your greatness, for your power, for your majesty. We thank you that we can come to you in prayer and that we can think about what you have done for us. We think about your Son who you sent to die on the cross to save us from our sins. And we think of those down through the years who have fought for the faith, who have contended for the faith. And we pray that you will help us to be willing to contend for the faith as well. We ask that you would be with the needs of our church. We think of our pastor and Sherry today as they are dealing with the situation of the death of Sherry's dad. We know that it's been a period of time coming, but we knew that that was going to happen soon. And we pray now that you would be with them and help them to be able to be a witness and a testimony to those in the family with whom they will come in contact with over the next several days. And just comfort them and strengthen them and watch over them, we pray. We ask that, Lord, too, you would be with our church as we make decisions concerning property acquisition, that you would give us wisdom there. Lord, we want to do what you want us to do, and we pray that that would be the end of this, the total project would be in what you would have us to do with this building. We ask that you would direct us, each one, as we listen to your word as it's proclaimed this day. Pray that you be with Matt as he has an opportunity to present your word, to preach the gospel, and we pray that you would be close to him. We pray for our nation. We know that there are difficult times going on right now. There are difficult times that we will be facing in the future, should you tarry, but we ask that you would help us as believers to know how we should handle different situations, how we should handle what's going on. Pray that you would make us faithful in serving you through this time. We ask again that you would be with us through this day, through this service. May your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
As John says, God is love. There's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. I'm going to sing the song that God will hold us fast. Even when fears would think they will prevail, the Bible just mentioned, perfect love drives out fear. Would you stand and sing with us? Thank you.
Thank you, Douglas and team, for help leading us in worship. I remember when I was younger, my pastor would always talk about this struggle that he has, that he's got to save his voice, but he can't help but not singing. And so I understand that struggle at times when I'm coming to preach, and I know I need to be talking for a while, but I can't help but sing in the praises of our worthy Savior. So, kids, you are dismissed to your time in the Word, kindergarten and under, and we hope that you enjoy that time there. Thank you for those who are teaching those children church classes. Go ahead and open your Bibles to Psalm 51. We'll get there here in just a little bit. This message I originally wrote to preach in the beginning of January, but because of COVID, I was not here that Sunday, so Dave filled in for me. And since then, I've had about 4 months to think about this sermon. And so that original 30-minute sermon might go who knows how long. But it is a sermon that when you preach and you teach God's Word, first and foremost, it should impact your own heart. And that's exactly what this has done. This was originally a lesson that we taught in Sunday school, and I thought the whole church needs to hear this. And so being able to do that, and in God's providence, today's the day that the Lord had in mind for us to hear this sermon. One of the things that I'm thankful for in the past 4 months is after I had prepared this message, I read listened to a book called Grace is Greater by Kyle Eidelman. Excellent book. I recommend everyone to listen to it. And in that book, Kyle starts off by referencing Hebrews 12:15, and it says, "So to see to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled." That first section there, he talks about, see to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God. What does it mean to obtain the grace of God? And what does it go through? And he goes on throughout the book to talk about how this, it is hard to describe that, but he talks about the experiencing of the grace of God. He says this quote, "Perhaps nothing is more difficult to explain as God's grace. The best way, perhaps the only real way to understand it is to experience it." Now, I know we're Baptists, so anytime we start talking about experiences and emotions and stuff, we get nervous. But we have to know that we can experience grace. It can be real, not just an intellectual thing that we understand and we can quote and type in a doctrinal statement, but it's something that we can live on a daily basis. How do you experience grace? What does that mean? Have you ever had those times where you knew about something? Maybe it was a trip, or you heard someone talk about it, or maybe it was a tool or an item or a computer or whatever it might be. And all of a sudden you've done all the research and you know everything about that. And then one day it switches and you actually get to go on that trip, or you get to buy that item and get to experience having that. And how that contrast happens. Sometimes when that happens in the worldly sense, the experience is not nearly as good as what we thought it was going to be. Sometimes it's better. With grace, it's out of this world. Way better than we can ever imagine. Or have you ever had those experiences where you just got to be there to explain it? You can try to relate to someone who's never done that. You can try to talk through those certain things, but it's just one of those things you've got to experience. And people will nod their head as if they get it, but they really don't get it, and you're trying to explain that to them. The one area in life that always happens for me is talking about being on summer camp staff. There's just nothing like it. You can't relate it to anything else. And when you try to, and you just long for everyone to experience what it's like being on a summer camp staff and seeing the Lord work in kids' lives and growing together as a staff and everything that comes along with that. We've all had those experiences, and I pray that we long for ourselves and for others around us to experience grace. Not just know about grace, but experience it. I want to talk to you about grace today, but in order to do that, and those of you who know by going to Psalm 51, we got to talk about sin. Kyle Eidelman makes this observation: our ability to appreciate grace is in direct correlation to the degree in which we acknowledge our need for it.
The more we recognize the ugliness of my sin, the more I can appreciate the beauty of God's grace. If we miss the reality of the depths of our sin, we miss out on the grace of God. As long as we think I am not a bad person, grace will never seem that good to us. I think that's so true. And I think that we are sinners, and we know that we are sinners. And if you don't admit that you are a sinner, 1 John has some other things to say to you, and you need to go read that. But we know that we are sinners, but we are very good at ignoring and justifying and downsizing and doing all of the rationalizing and doing all of these things to get to do with our sin, to make it seem not quite as bad as it really is. Yes, many of us have room and joining us online by many of us in this room and joining us online by God's grace have been saved from their sin and their identity is in Christ. However, the reality is we still sin today. And like Paul in Romans 7, where he talks about how he does what he doesn't want to do and he doesn't do what he does do and he's back and forth and he's wrestling that. How do you handle that sin? That is what we want to talk about today, because only when we handle sin correctly can we truly experience grace in the way that it's meant to be experienced. So we're going to go to Psalm 51. Psalm 51, the Holy Spirit led King David to write this song/prayer for us when and we'll find ourselves in this very situation. So let me read Psalm 51 for us. To the choir master, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet went to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgments. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with your willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God. O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praises. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I will give it to you, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart, O God. You will not despise. Do good to Zion in your good pleasure. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then will you delight in the right sacrifices, in burnt offerings and in whole burnt offerings. Then bowls will be made offered on your altar. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word. For those of you taking notes today, and a side note for community groups, the questions that were sent out, we're going to save those for next week. Pastor's going to preach that message next week, and so you will be discussing the things that you hear this morning in community groups. So if you want to take good notes, your leaders don't have questions ahead of times, and help them with this discussion. But for those taking notes, the main idea is we can know and experience the depths of grace when we confess sin biblically. And there's 2 points that we have here. Verses 1 to 12, confess sin. And number 2, in verses 13 to 19, live in the midst of repentance. Psalm 51, we see here, to the choir master, a psalm of David when Nathan the prophet went to him. This is referring back to the story that we hear in 2 Samuel 11 and 12. It's a familiar story when David, instead of being out at battle with his troops, was home relaxing. He sees Bathsheba across the way bathing on the roof and lusts after her and brings her in and commits adultery with her. And then when she comes forth and shows that she is pregnant, he tries to hide it. He doesn't try to come and come clean and talk about and admit his sin. He tries to hide it. So he brings her husband home from battle. And he, not wanting to have special treatment over his troops, does not follow in what David thought was going to be happening and does not go into his home and lays outside. And then so David comes up with another plan. He sends her husband out to the front lines, where it's almost guaranteed that he will be killed, in order to come, and then brings Bathsheba into his house. And he was living with this sin, and the Lord sent Nathan the prophet to confront him of this sin. That would be an awfully scary time. We get nervous when we're confronting our friends and our family about sin. Imagine going to the most powerful man in the world and telling him that he is a sinner. But Nathan, following God's leading, does just that. And David is brokenhearted. The Spirit works in his life, and he confesses his sin. And then he writes this psalm to teach the nation of Israel and the people of God, teach us about how to confess sin and what and why we need to confess sin. So, Psalm 51, first section here, in this part of the psalm, he starts to confess sin. Now, the word confess, I think, is misleading at times. Confess, in our way that we talk about it, is we're revealing new information. Hey, I did this kind of thing there. But when we're confessing to a holy God who is all-knowing, we're not revealing any new information. He already knows. So much of what we're going to be doing is just aligning and admitting that we are a sinner. That we recognize that God's standard is holy and we are going to come underneath of that. That's what it means to confess. We're not telling him something that to get it, you know, to make sure he knows and changes his mind about things. No, he wants us to come to him and do it in this way. David lists 3 things here. We see in verses 1 and 2 that we need to appeal to the Lord's character. It says, have mercy. The CSB uses, be gracious on me, O God. According to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from your iniquity and cleanse me from your sin. Grace, mercy, compassion, steadfast love. This is our God. He doesn't just practice these attributes well or perfectly. He is the standard of these attributes. He is compassionate. He is full of grace and love and mercy. This is who he is. And we need to remember that. Yes, he is the sovereign, all-powerful, good God. Which would be a very scary thing if that good part was not in there. If we served a God that was all-powerful, holy, and just, and sovereign, and was not good, that would be scary. But we serve a God that's also good, and loving, and compassionate. When we come before God, we tend to make him into someone that he is not. But instead, we need to appeal to his character and who he says he is in the Scriptures. Grace. Getting what we do not deserve. Mercy. Not getting what we do deserve. Compassion. Showing kindness and gentleness. Steadfast love. That's the Hebrew word hesed. That's that unfailing loving kindness of our God. There's no other word to describe it. Is that the Lord that you see? In the midst of sin, do you see the Lord accurately? We just focus on his power and his wrath, we're going to hide our sin from him. If we just focus on who he is and his goodness, we're not going to take sin seriously. But when we have an accurate picture of who God is, we will be able to come to Him and praise Him and to ask for forgiveness. That's exactly what we see here. Forgiveness is the exact language David uses. Blot out, wash, cleanse. Now, you know you're in the midst of a pandemic when I see blot out, wash, and cleanse, and my mind immediately went to clean, disinfect, and sanitize. The lessons that I've been teaching all year at school. But I think there's some truth to there that wash out. The Lord doesn't just wash us or clean us to make us no visible dirt, but rather He sanitizes. He makes us completely clean. We'll talk more about what that means later. But David here is appealing to God's character in order to be made clean. Whiter than snow, as he says later on. The second thing we see here, David acknowledges his sin. Why is it so hard for us to acknowledge sin? We see it in kids, you know, like kids, they sin, and we're like, did you do this? Yes. You know, and they're kind of going back and forth, and they don't know what to do. But the reality is, as adults, we're like, did you commit this sin? And we just know better ways to kind of hide it and use more sophisticated language to hide it. We don't want to confess sin. But the evidence of the Holy Spirit is that He is going to convict us and that He is going to allow us to feel guilty. And that is an act of grace there in order for us to point out that something is wrong. It's kind of like pain. When pain is in the body, it's not a bad thing. It's pointing out something needs to be addressed. But the problem is when we feel that guilt, when we feel that shame, when we feel those different things, we often kind of stay there and we never fully grasp, first of all, the depth of our sin. David uses the word here for treason in verse 3. Transgressions, that's what it means. The Reformation Study Bible makes this observation. David's point is not that his sin is ultimate, not exclusively against God. Ultimately, but not exclusively against God. Rebellion against God is the root of his sin. And that's true for us. Yes, David sinned against Bathsheba and sinned against her husband and sinned against the nation of Israel. But he ultimately sinned against God. And when we sin against God, when we sin against others, we ultimately sin against the holy God. Therefore, it does not matter the degree of sin. It's all treason against God's standard. That is the reality of sin. We all stand guilty. Verse 5 reminds us that we are sinners by nature. David reminds us that it's not just that we do bad things, but that we, from the moment of conception, are sinners. We don't want to do good things. We naturally satisfy the desires of our hearts. We live in a culture that likes to tell us we're born neutral and we make our choices, but that is not true. That is not what the Bible teaches. And therefore, we grow up with the sin nature in need of the Lord rescuing us, and thank God that He has for many of us. But the reality is we still sin. And when we sin, how do you view that sin? Did you tell any white lies this week? Treason. Did you act selfishly at any point? It's treason. Have you complained about what's happening during this COVID time at all? Treason. That is how we need to see our sin. Do you see our sin that way? Do you see your sin that way? We need to appeal to God's character because the depth of our sin is beyond our imagination. And we need the Lord to rescue us. In addition to that, we need to identify our sin. So oftentimes we go into this and we feel bad until we apologize, but we don't really know what we're apologizing for. Spurgeon makes this observation. It says, we do admit that we make mistakes, though we set them down to weaknesses rather than willfulness. We apologize for infirmities rather excuse the accused of our own hearts. See, in Ephesians, he calls us to put off and put on. How are we going to do that unless we identify the sin that needs to come off? We oftentimes feel bad, ask for forgiveness, but David says, I know my sin. He does the hard work of identifying that sin and rooting it out through the help of the Holy Spirit. And he's asking the Lord to help him do that. That's part of that cleansing. Not just getting away the effects, not just getting away the symptoms, but also asking God to uproot that sin in our lives and getting rid of it. How do we identify sin in our lives? We got to listen when the Lord speaks, and he speaks to us in two different ways. One, through his scriptures. Are you in the scriptures? Are you looking, as James says, into the mirror of the scriptures and identifying the blemishes and spots and weaknesses? And then asking the Lord to do a work in your life as you strive and do the work of sanctification with the help of the Holy Spirit. Are you reading it daily? Are you listening to it weekly when we come here? Are you wrestling with the truth? Are you downloading different ways? We have access to more information and sermons and Bible studies today than any point in history. How much are you utilizing those resources? First of all, how do we know, identify the sin in our lives? We listen. We listen to the Bible and we listen to the body of Christ. That's one of the reasons why church is so important. It's not just that you come and you feel good about yourselves and leave and motivated to go, but we need to live in a body together. I need brothers and sisters in my life who are going to point out the sin in my life and tell me where I am falling short. I have blinders. I have ways of rationalizing and not seeing clearly. And it's through the body of Christ, as we love each other and as we do life together and we link arm in arm, walking hand in hand in this world, that we are able to help each other to grow, identify sin, and give resources and help carry that burden to see that they remain accountable to the standard of God. We need to listen to the Word of God and listen to the people around us in the body of Christ. So what do we need to do when we come to confess? We need to appeal to God's character. We need to identify and understand the depth of our sin. And thirdly, we need to ask for cleansing. Verses 7 through 12. David asked this, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit." I love the action words in this passage. David asked him to purge him, referring with hyssop, referring to this active beating out of sin. It was an Old Testament ritual that they would do. Wash me, let me hear, rejoice, blot out, create, renew, cast me not, take not, restore, uphold. All of these action terms that David is appealing to the Lord to do in his life. We could do a separate study on each and every one of those words and spend a week looking at what that means. It's amazing what the Lord has done for us. And the reality that David is trying to communicate is the work that the Lord has done in his heart. We've committed treason against the Holy God. We cannot do anything to fix it. And he's not wanting to just be getting rid of the filth and the symptoms and the outward appearance of sin. He is wanting to be made clean. A new heart, a new spirit that wants to worship the Savior. David is asking for the impossible. But we serve a God who's in the business of making the impossible possible. And he has made this possible by sending his Son into the world and to live a perfect life and then to die on a cross, being the substitutionary atoning sacrifice for our sin. God's holy wrath cannot just be ignored, but instead of putting that punishment on us, it came out on the Lord, on the Savior. And because of God's great mercy, we now can be made new and clean because of His righteousness being imputed to us and live a life that is pleasing to the Lord. And David is asking for this. And here's the beautiful thing, brothers and sisters. If you are in Christ, a beautiful unity of Christ doctrine that we talked about Wednesday nights in the beginning of the year. If you are in Christ, those things are already true. You have been justified according to Romans 5. You are a child of God. You have no condemnation according to Romans 8. You have been sealed by the Spirit according to Ephesians 1. You have been made clean. You have been renewed. You have been done. You have been made whiter than snow already. The question is, are you going to take God at His word that that's true or not? If we're stuck in this performance-based Christianity where we've got to, yes, we got into the gate because of grace, but now we've got to kind of earn our way back into favor there. And we've got these things that, of course, we're not going to come to Him with our sin. We don't want to look like we're messing up. But if we understand grace and we can come to a holy, good God and understand that He is already taking care of all of it, and there is nothing we can do to change our standing, to change His love, to change His kindness towards us, and then we can come to Him laid bare with our sin before Him and allow Him to take that sin and give us the righteousness of Christ and be able to experience the grace of God. That's how we experience the grace of God. We experience it by letting Him take care of the sin that we want Him to take care of so bad. But it requires a humility. It requires an opportunity to understand and put trust in the promises of God that He is going to fulfill what He has promised to do. And then we get to verse 12. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. When was the last time you experienced joy from your salvation? When was the last time that you just sat back and smiled because of what the Lord has done for you? For many of us, it's become all too common. It's become all too just, what are we going to do here? But our salvation is joy. I remember Pastor Brad talking and preaching one time and saying that sin, in the midst of sin, we are living as a practical atheist. Because if we really believed that a holy God was all present with us, we would not sin. So in that moment, practically, we are living as an atheist. But when we become right and we allow the grace of God to take control and to take care of that sin problem, we can experience the joy of our salvation. The joy of Romans 8 becoming adopted as part of His family and being able to call upon our Abba Father. What do we need to do with sin in our lives? We need to appeal to God's character. We need to identify our sin and understand the depths of it. And then ask Him to cleanse us from all of that sin. Because He will. He's promised to do so. And we need to trust that He will do that. And then, after that, 13 to 19 here, we need to live in the midst of repentance. How many people I've talked to about how they just can't let go of their past? Or what do we do now that we experience this grace and we just can't hold it back? We need to live in the midst of repentance. Sin is a very selfish act. So by nature, when we repent of that sin and we allow the Savior to experience that grace, we are going to want to reach out to others. And we become very others focused. He says here at the beginning, I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners will return to you. I want to help other people, but I need help first. Cleanse me, wash me. And then he gets into talking about the worship. How has your worship been? Talks about singing praises, giving praise to His name, not just on Sunday mornings, but all throughout life. Yesterday, Jeremy Kimball made the observation, we talk about what we love. When was the last time we talked about the Lord to our neighbors, to our coworkers? Live in the midst of that repentance. He has done a miraculous work in our lives. We need to allow that to happen to us. When we're able to experience the grace of God, we are able to minister to others effectively, worship a God like He deserves, and then also lead at the end here. And I know I'm flying through these last little bit due to time, but that's one thing I want you guys to talk about when you get into your community groups. What does it mean to live in repentance? What does it mean to live when you've been made washed and made clean? But I want to point out 18 and 19. He has this this kind of weird section where he switches and prays to the Lord to restore Zion, Israel. And what is he talking about here? And I think the lesson here is, one, he wants to serve well that these people that he has been placed in leadership over. But two, when we sin as a leader, it affects more than just us. It's going to affect those around us. And I think that's a heeded warning that we need to have. And those of you who think, I'm not a leader, anyone who's a parent is a leader. Anyone who is around others has an opportunity to influence. The question is, do we influence in the way that we go to Christ and we point others to Christ? I hope you are intentional in living for Christ. I hope that you take your sins seriously and pray that you will walk through the sometimes painful process of confessing sin. And all three of those things that it entails. So that you can experience the joy of repentance. Experience the grace of God. And live and worship our Savior. And serve Him. When I wrote this, it's still on the radio. But this song seemed to play about every other song. That's Christian radio does that sometimes. But it's Truth Be Told by Matthew West. And I think these words just rang true in my head. And I'll read part of them here. It says, I'm fine, yeah, I'm fine. Oh, I'm fine, yeah, I'm fine, but I'm not. I'm broken. And when it's out of control, I say it's under control, but it's not. And you know it. I don't know why it's so hard to admit it, but being honest is the only way to fix it. There's no failure to fall. There's no sin that you don't already know, so let the truth be told. Can I really stand here unashamed, knowing that you love me? Your love for me will not change. Oh God, if that is really true, let the truth be told. I think that's true. We need to be honest before the Lord. We need to trust in His promises and who He is. Let's take it down to some application here. First one, take sin seriously. At Wheelersburg Baptist, we take sin seriously. Now, what I mean by that is we're not going to sit here and just look to judge you and hammer you. We want to help you. We want to engage in targeted discipleship, which is counseling, to help you work through some sin issues that have taken root in your life. We have people in this church that want to come together and help you to know and to learn how to walk faithfully with the Lord, to put off sin in your life and to put on the righteousness of Christ in that sanctification process. We take it seriously. Are you engaging in the community of believers here? Are you taking sin seriously? Number two, who do you have in your life that can call you out on your sin? Do you have brothers and sisters in your life that, first of all, have enough access and have the permission to call you out on your sin and then speak the truth of God's love to you. To speak the truth of Scriptures, even when it's hard. And many of us, our spouses do that and we do it and that's great. But I think it needs to go a step further. Men, what men in your life do you have that can do this? Women, what women in your life do you have that know you well enough and have permission to speak the truth in love to you? That you're not going to get offensive, that you're not going to, but they know, and you know that they have your best interest in mind and God's glory in mind. We need that in our lives. We're so easy to get distracted and not to know where to go. Thirdly, live in awe of the amazing grace that we have been given. When you truly see your sin for what it is, and honest, then we can be honest. Then we can honestly see and experience the grace of God and what He has bestowed to us. And we cannot help to keep that to ourselves once we experience the grace of God. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank You so much for Your amazing love and Your grace. Lord, we are sinners. And too many times we passively walk through life and not giving thought to the way that we are committing treason, that the way that we are throwing and turning our faces away from You and satisfying the sinful desires of our hearts. Lord, forgive us for that. Help us to do the work of identifying the sin and coming to You with repentance and asking to be made clean and trusting in the promises that You've already made us clean so we can experience Your grace and we can share that grace with others. Oh, amazing. How amazing Your grace is. Help us to not become used to hearing that. Help us to not lose the awe of the work that You have done in our lives. And help us to make much of You while we do that. In Your name we pray. Amen.
We have our closing hymn, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." So if you would just stand with me, let's sing this together.
So sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust His cleansing blood, just in sin. Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to see. Just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him. I'm so glad I learned to trust Thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that Thou art with me, will be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him more. Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more.
Precious Jesus, oh, to trust Him more. I pray that we do that on a daily basis, not just for our salvation, but the way that we live our lives, making much of Him. Community groups this afternoon and evening, I encourage you to join in on those. Continue to fellowship and discuss. Continue to pray for Pastor and Sherry and the grief of their loss, and as they try to minister to the family members, the rest of the family members there. Until next week, you guys have a blessed day. You are dismissed.